Let's talk money once again. The Citizens United Tactics and Strategy got their first real crack at a midterm election, and boy, was it interesting to see what the future is going to look like. The present with a lot more zeros. Maybe that's the easy takeaway at this point. Joining us is Keisha Weir, project manager and reporter for Who's Calling the Shots, a project of the Center for Public Integrity's state politics team. What did you think of all the money and the results from yesterday's election?
It was quite impressive. We're, you know, still looking at a couple of seats that haven't been decided yet, but it really was a real Republican victory on the, obviously, on the Senate side, but also in the governorships. And there's just a lot of money that was spent on especially TV ads. We have, you know, more than $1.3 billion were spent on U.S. Senate and state level races alone.
Is it amounts of money that matter most, or is somehow money a dynamic that has more of an impact as an opposition force, as a negative force, as a get rid of the bums kind of force?
Well, I think it's both. It really did end up helping. If you had more money on your side, it really helped you win. And in this case, that money was really fueling a lot of throw the bums out sentiment and a lot of anti-Obama rhetoric. If you looked at a lot of the ads, they were, you know, referenced the president and his health care plan, even if it was for a state legislative race in Alabama. And, you know, it's interesting. The money really did seem to have an influence.
You know, we could have a debate over policy, but we're not going to here. But I'm wondering if one of the dynamics going forward and the trends going forward on this Citizens United is that every incumbent president will have a target on his or her head, and the midterm money will basically be to shut down the sitting president, whoever that person may be, and that the concept of coattails kind of goes away.
That's an interesting point. And I think that we, you know, really are going to be seeing a lot more of the kind of message being controlled by people who are outside of the actual candidates because of that. And so they can really shape the message how they want. And if they're the outside groups who are doing, you know, on the state level races, 1 in 5 of the ads are on the Senate side. In some races, they were doing more than half of them. You know, they can really make it be the conversation they want to have based on those dollars that they're able to throw into the ads on the airwaves.
You know, there's going to have to be some research done as to whether the electorate perceives the difference between ads that are specifically endorsed by a candidate and ads that are the dark money candidate. I mean, I can recall hearing ads that were clearly not associated with a candidate and then other ads that were associated with a candidate. I couldn't tell within my own sort of soul which one had more or less of an impact, but I gather that's the next really important sort of statistic to get from the electorate right now.
Yeah, and I think the voters are getting smart about this. You know, they kind of are realizing that there's some of these groups aren't necessarily who they sound like with their nice names, like Coalition for a Better Future, or The Future Sounds Great. And, you know, we talked to an expert in about the Maryland governor's race, which was a surprise. A Republican, Larry Hogan, beat the lieutenant governor, Anthony Brown. And what we heard was that, you know, a lot of voters were turned off by the negative ads attacking Hogan. And even though it wasn't Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown who made those ads, it was outside groups that did some of them, they were, you know, kind of conflated them with Brown. And so that had a kind of dulled the shine off of his race and helped push Hogan forward in a state that is, you know, largely a blue state.
Who do you think was really taken down, sort of nailed in the, you know, carotid artery by the money that came in this midterm election? And who do you think leaves this election with a clear sort of national platform going forward, if you can answer that question?
Yeah, sure. So Charlie Crist in Florida really just got hammered. He was running for governor in Florida, had already served as governor as a Republican, but this time he was running as a Democrat. And he put up a big fight, you know, had a lot of ads in his favor, but he was outspent almost 2-1. Incumbent Governor Rick Scott and his allies spent $61 million on TV ads, and Crist and his allies had only $34 million. And so it was the most expensive race in the country in terms of TV ads. And a lot of those ads were negative ads talking about Charlie Crist about how he'd changed parties, about his role as governor during the economic crisis. And he really got hammered. On the flip side of the people who kind of shone ahead of all of this, we had, you know, a number of candidates that kind of that knocked out some incumbents, and we had some incumbents that held on and showed their mettle. Scott Walker in Wisconsin, Tom Wolf in Pennsylvania, unseated Governor Corbett. And the governor's races are so interesting because they really set the stage for the presidential election. It's a breeding ground for a lot of the candidates that do decide to run and potentially in 2016.
Well, that's great stuff. I think you're absolutely right. Walker, I think, is the big winner for 2016 on the GOP side at this point. And I think Paul Ryan is probably the big loser in the same state on the 2016 side. We'll just have to see. Keisha Weir, project manager and reporter for Who's Calling the Shots, a project of the Center for Public Integrity State Politics team. Thanks so much, Keisha.
Thanks for having me.